Hello, I'm Barry Wynbolt. Welcome to Get a Better Handle on Life, the podcast where we discuss ideas to enhance your personal development journey, mostly, and occasionally we stray into other areas as well, like mental health and well-being, inspiring stories, and anything that kind of fits into the format. Today, regular contributor Rick Goff is back. He's joined me again to explore a topic that doesn't get enough attention. A few weeks ago, in one of our other discussions, Rick came up with the idea of accepting compliments at work, and that sort of morphed and grew legs a bit and became much more in my imagination, because recognising the efforts and the compliments of colleagues in the workplace isn't just a nicety, it's a fundamental aspect for fostering a positive and productive workplace environment. When individuals feel valued and appreciated for their contributions, as we all know when it happens to us when we're on the receiving end, it boosts morale, enhances motivation and engagement across the board. But unfortunately, it doesn't always get the airtime that it perhaps could. And quite a lot of managers seem to overlook this little nicety, which actually, as research shows, has a really positive impact on an organisation. So, good evening, Rick.
Good evening, Barry. It's nice to see you again.
You came up with this topic originally. You proposed it to me that we talk about, actually, was it recognition you mentioned or accepting compliments?
I think it started off as accepting compliments. And as we've kind of discussed the idea, it's expanded into giving and receiving feedback and comments.
Yes, well, we covered feedback in an earlier show, didn't we? So this built on that. I think that's when we came up with, or you came up with that idea originally. How should we approach this, do you think?
I think we should look at it from both sides. So I think we should look at it from the side of the person giving the compliment, and also consider what it's like to receive a compliment and how you should acknowledge that.
Is there a distinction between recognition of somebody's efforts at work and a compliment? Are we talking about the same thing, do you think?
That's a really good question, isn't it? Because actually, I think you can separate the two, because I think recognition is somebody doing their job and say, okay, thanks for that. And that's just a kind of well done for doing your job, but it's great that you're here and contributing. But I think that when you go over and above, then that should be recognised.
Yes, so recognition comes in when somebody is doing something exceptional, or you know, maybe they worked late or put in extra hours for a report or did something by helping a colleague out, that sort of thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Went over and above what they would normally do.
So where does a compliment come in then, do you think?
Gosh, we shouldn't get too stuck on semantics, should we? But
nice one. Nice way out of the question.
So a compliment is, so it's almost like an element of surprise. It's greater than what you're expecting. And so you want to say to the person, hey, thank you for that. I really appreciated that. And just to kind of recognize that, hey, that was good. It was a job well done.
I once worked in an organisation where I was very happy and got on very well, and still know a couple of the colleagues that were my colleagues then about 15 years ago. And there was one of them who was extremely good at giving compliments. It was kind of unsolicited praise or acknowledgement. It wasn't actually directly related to work. It was more of something that was unexpected and unsolicited, whereas recognition tends to be, as you said, an acknowledgement for a job well done, let's say.
Yes, absolutely. It's nice, isn't it? Well, there are some people that you come across in life and they are very generous with their words and they put you at ease because, like you say, they just maybe recognise something to say, oh, it's lovely to see you, thanks for coming in. And automatically, you think, this is a warm greeting. This isn't an attack on me. I feel at ease straight away. So I think that's a really good start to a conversation and a day's work, isn't it?
Was that a sort of a covert suggestion that when you came in here this evening, I should have said, oh, lovely to see you, Rick. Thank you so much for joining me.
But without diving down a rabbit hole too early, though, Barry. We are as a nation quite sarcastic. And, you know, if it's done badly or insincerely, it can have completely the reverse effect, can't it?
Well, that is one of my bugbears as a trainer when I was still full-time training. The idea that you can teach, in inverted commas, a set of skills and then people take them away, typically managers when I was training them, would take that away and use it as a tick box exercise. So it was utterly insincere, and of course it doesn't work.
No, and it's a waste of time. And I think the person on the other side, rather than feeling good about themselves, it'll have the opposite effect.
And as we've discussed in a previous program like this, we were speaking about feedback at the time, I think, but people are waiting for the other shoe to drop. You say something nice and they're waiting for the punchline or the cutting remark or the irony or something. You're listening to Get a Better Handle on Life, where my guest Rick Goff and I are discussing showing appreciation and giving recognition at work. So we touched on kind of recognition and acknowledgement at work and the idea that paying compliments might be something different, and that as a nation, it doesn't kind of come naturally to us to big up people who aren't ourselves. Of course, most of us don't big up ourselves as well, but there are those who do. For you, what is the value of a manager recognizing the efforts? Because let's face it, if you're at work and you're all busy and you've all got your jobs, you've got your stuff to do, the manager's already overworked probably and under pressure, and the main focus is on getting the work out, whatever it happens to be, the idea of taking time for something extra, giving something back to an employee, to a member of staff, might not come naturally to people. So why would they do it?
I think that if you do dig deeper that day, if you go an extra mile or do a lot of research or push the boat out to, there's a lot of cliches in there, you choose the one you want. But if you do that, it's nice for somebody to turn around and say, gosh, I recognise what you did for that, and I really am grateful for that. It's nice to hear that, because you think, well, all my effort hasn't gone to waste, and somebody else has seen that I put all that trouble in. It's not just me knowing that I put a lot of into that, but somebody else has seen it, and that's a good feeling, isn't it? For somebody else to say, hey, look, I know what you did there, and that was really good.
Yeah, and I guess if it's a work in the sort of situation I just mentioned, a manager, then that somebody else isn't just somebody else, it's your manager. So there's recognition in there too, and possibly you get a couple of brownie points, and this is acknowledgement that I valued your contribution in some way, which goes beyond just an assumption.
I think the other thing, Barry, is that it needs to be genuine, and it also needs to be timely, doesn't it? It's no point in saying, oh, you know that thing you did last month? That's, you know, you've lost the moment there, haven't you? If you're genuinely pleased with what somebody's done, then tell them as quickly as you can, because they know the effort they put in, or maybe they just that's just they're on fine form and they're just doing it naturally. But pat them on the back, tell them, hey, you're doing a great job there. That'll make them feel good about themselves, and they'll keep doing more of the same.
Yes, so it reminds me years and years ago when I, in my early entrepreneurial days, when I had, in those days it was called Youth Opportunities or something. They used to send school leavers along to us and we'd get a subsidy to employ them. And part of the program in my organization was that we always had one or two of these people working in the organization. And I remember one particular young woman, and she reckoned that she was uneducated. She'd been to a comprehensive school. She said, we were being educated to have babies. They didn't take us very seriously at my school. But that's how she felt anyway in those days. I'm going back 40 or more years. It just dawned on me that I'd walked off from something she'd done, which I particularly appreciated, and I hadn't acknowledged it. So I came out of the office and went over and said, Sandra, I hope you're listening, Sandra, by the way, she lives in the area, you know who you are. But I said to her, that was really clever, and I wouldn't have thought of it. And honestly, I saw her she blushed a little at first, but she looked so pleased. And that continued, our relationship continued like that. I realized the value of the right word at the right time. And I was only in my early 30s myself, and I hadn't really learned all the ropes yet. And I learned the value of acknowledgement at the right time. And I almost didn't do it at the right time. I think if I'd have come back in an hour or at tea break and said, oh, by the way, that it wouldn't have been the same. So you're absolutely right on that, yeah.
And how would she have behaved or felt if you hadn't said anything at all?
I don't know. She was always pretty motivated, but she certainly wouldn't. I mean, she was, what would she have been, 16, 17? And within 6 months, I was able to leave the unit all day because I was doing consultancy work as well. And she basically held it together. She was in the role of quite a senior manager. I mean, it wasn't a very big business we had. We had about 9 employees, but she knew everything. And I don't know if she'd have been that keen without that encouragement. In fact, I never considered it until now. I just really thought she was really clever and had a lot to offer. But she didn't think it, and she got that sense of self through the job for sure.
So is the key knowing what's over and above, or recognizing in somebody when they put the extra effort in? Or is the key timely, or is it finding the right words to say?
Well, I think it's all of the above, isn't it? I mean, I would suggest, and I'm speaking now as a coach because I work with employees and managers, that if you're not used to giving compliments, maybe you practice in front of a mirror. I know it sounds phony and trite, but really, if those words have never crossed your lips, they're probably not going to be there when you need them. So you need to think of a few sincere acknowledgements for people and have them as part of your repertoire, I would say, wouldn't you?
I agree. And I think you're right there about practicing, because if it's too much and too strong, then it possibly steers back into that insincerity again, doesn't it?
I know from managers I've worked with, both above and below me in the hierarchy, that the people who did it most sincerely, I think, were fairly sparing with what they said. They tended to be quite optimistic people, upbeat anyway, perhaps optimistic isn't right, but they were quite interactive with their staff. And there was something, one person I worked with, it was particular, very early, I was about 18 in one of my first jobs, and he was a very sarcastic man, but very funny, and I got on with him very well. And he just turned to me one day and said, and looked at me and said, well done for that, by the way. And it made me swell with pride. Now, he'd previously said to me, and I was told to sweep the pavement outside the premises, which really did a lot for my ego at 17 or 18 or whatever I was. But it was part of the job. It was part of learning the ropes in those days. And he came out and took the broom off me and said, you look like a cow with a musket, which is an expression I've always remembered. In other words, I wasn't doing it right. So that's the sort of stuff I was used to hearing from him. Done with affection, I have to say. It was never cruel. But this one comment, well done for that. It was something about his change of demeanor. He turned and the way he delivered it to me, I knew he meant it. And that was really important. But the point I want to make is it was sparing. He didn't go over the top. There's so much phony bigging up these days, isn't there, that people tend to do it for themselves on social media and all that. If you watch, what was that, The Apprentice?
Yes.
You know, how on earth can somebody give 110%? Don't be daft, you know. And they got all these phrases. But actually, the people who do it with authenticity, it tends to be quite sparing, I think.
And I think that's a good point, isn't it? Because if it's done all of the time and too much, then the value of it diminishes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So the sparingly means a lot more, doesn't it? And if it's done at the right time, in the right way, rather than just as a matter of course. But hang on, that's not always true, though, is it? Because it may be that every day you say, oh, it's nice to see you today, or you look nice today. That's all right, isn't it?
Well, yes, but they're not really the sorts of things we're talking about, are they? Because they are kind of social acknowledgements. They're the things that lubricate the relationships. They're sort of grease in the cogs, aren't they, of social interaction, acknowledgement and polite repartee and exchanges of things like that. And now and again, we say something extra nice to somebody. Of course, in today's workplace, I guess you've got to be very careful about that, because if it happens to be a member of the opposite sex, you could quickly get into trouble. I'm reminded of this because I've just watched Mrs. America on iPlayer, which is about the equality revolution in the USA from the early 70s. And it was brilliant, but it just pointed out some of how fragile things are in the workplace if you're not careful. I think that's probably a bit of an aside. So there's a distinction to be made between social lubricant, as I've called it, and actually acknowledging somebody for real.
Yeah. And you talked about giving somebody in your team acknowledgement for a job well done, and they blushed. So how...
Well, I tell you what, let's wrap this section up. Because we can get into receiving.
Ah, that's where I was going with that.
Well, we've covered in our usual meandering fashion, we've covered quite a lot about kind of working out the terrain of acknowledgement and recognition in the workplace, and made a distinction between what I've called social lubricant and more authentic or sincere praise. I don't even know if praise is the right word, actually, because praise sounds a bit like you're lavishing something on somebody. But anyway, that's where we've got with that. And I'm going to take a little pause now, and I want to come back to what happens if you're on the receiving end. You're listening to Get a Better Handle on Life with me, Barry Winbolt. This is the podcast that helps you, well, get a better handle on life, whether it's a relationship challenge, a workplace challenge, something that's bugging you in your personal life, mental health issue, whatever it is, sooner or later, we're going to cover it. In this episode, I'm speaking to Rick Goff, manager in a large financial organization. We're covering the question of how should you recognize and show appreciation to your colleagues. We've covered a fair bit about how you dish it out. What happens if you're on the receiving end? What do you think about that, Rick?
Well, you were hitting on something earlier about the sort of the generation coming through and how people are used to bigging themselves up a bit more. But I think a lot of us are more shy and retiring and a bit more British and modest. So we're not used to that scenario, are we? As you get on in life, it's important to be able to recognise and appreciate and be grateful for feedback and comments and compliments. And being able to receive a compliment and say, thank you very much for that, is such a nice thing to be able to do, and really take it to heart and listen to it. Don't just brush it off, but actually really think about it and say, well, yeah, okay, that was good. It's nice to be recognised. It's nice to be appreciated.
So what sort of acknowledgement do you give the person who's recognising them? Do you have to do anything? Or, as I said earlier, as the young woman did in my employ, you just blush a bit? Or
I don't think you should, and I'm struggling for the right words, but deny it or say, no, it was nothing. Don't do that. Take it. Say thank you. Because I think if you try and push the person off and play it down, then it may put the person off recognising it in the future, or to one of your colleagues if they did something similar.
So if somebody, a manager, say, gives out some positive affirmation of a member of their team, they may not feel that comfortable about doing it either, because it isn't in our natural range of skills. We don't learn it at business school, for a start. Maybe we do now, but we never used to, because I looked at a few MBAs once, and the level of communication at that level in those study courses just wasn't present. So they may not be that comfortable themselves in giving out that sort of positive information to their troops. So if they meet with perceived embarrassment on the part of the recipient, then they may think they're not doing the best thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. And they may think, well, I've done it disingenuously or insincerely or inappropriately. So I think it's really good to sort of recognise when you are being paid a compliment and say thank you for that, you know.
Hey, you're still in the workplace, Rick, as I'm not. I'm past it, as they say. I don't go to work every day. And I know you work largely from home, but you interact every day with colleagues. So how present in a large multinational, which is very important, how present is this culture of acknowledgement in your organization? I mean, I suppose my question is this, has it changed? Because I get the impression, I do go into workplaces now and again, and I get the impression from the good ones that actually people are very cognizant. They really recognize each other's efforts. There's a lot of sort of high-fiving and backslapping goes on, or whatever passes for backslapping in some organizations. But is that just the organizations? Do you think things have changed in the last, say, 10 to 15 years?
I think that it is all to do with human interaction, isn't it? And when somebody says, hey, Barry, can you help me with this task? And you do it, you have to put down something. You've already got your day planned, but you're happy to put that aside and help somebody else out, then it's important that you're recognized for that. Because if then you're asked for a second time and there's no recognition, you think, well, why would I bother? If you didn't really appreciate it last time, why would I go out of my way to help you next time?
Well, you might not, but I think I might, because I'm motivated by something different. But that's okay. Because of my work entirely. You know, I might do things. I do things that I think are for the good of others, because it makes me feel good. Actually, it's very, very noble of me, isn't it? But actually, I get a payoff because something that needed doing. For example, I was in a cafe this morning, and across the cafe, there was a lady who'd come in for a takeout, and she had a coffee and a bacon bap or whatever it was, and she was quite elderly. And she got back to the door, and I could see she was really struggling with the door. Now, it meant that I had to get up from the other side of the cafe and cross the cafe. And I did it because I wanted to help her and I didn't want her to spill her coffee. I didn't care whether she acknowledged it in that instance. She did. But it was actually quite difficult for me to get up from the table, if I'm honest, because I was not conforming. You know, everybody else was sitting down, and here's this smart aleck who gets up and opens the door. Now, the fact that I was brought up like that by my parents is one thing. But what struck me about the exercise was that she didn't expect it, and I didn't altogether expect it. But my payoff, if I'm honest, was that I'd done the right thing, I felt, by my value system.
Did she acknowledge?
Yes, she did. Yeah, she said, I can manage, thank you. Oh. No, she didn't. She was very polite. Yes, gave me a little thank you.
But if that happened three times in a row, and each time everybody kind of sneered at you, so then you wouldn't be motivated to help the third person.
Absolutely. Yes, that's true. But So I didn't need the acknowledgement. I got pleasure out of doing it.
So that goes back to learning how to receive feedback. Doesn't it? So although that was opening a door for somebody and having the door open for you, to look somebody in the eye and say thank you, it doesn't cost anything, does it? And like you say, it's part of our being civilized members of society, isn't it?
Yeah, but it doesn't cost anything, I know, but somehow it's still not as present in our society as it should be. It's quite hard, as you said earlier, for people to actually step forward and acknowledge. Now, we'd all say we're respectful and polite people, wouldn't we? And yet, by social conformity, and particularly in the workplace, people model the behaviour that they see around them. So if there's one manager who regularly thanks others or colleagues are polite, then the culture tends to be quite benign or positive. But if you start getting one or two people who are not, and it's tolerated, or bad manners are tolerated, then it can quickly, the culture can quickly take a dive. And I know that for sure. I mean, that was in a lot of my earlier work.
I think a lot of the sort of more white-collar jobs are relationship-based, aren't they? And it's all to do with human interaction. Sales, marketing, all of that sort of stuff is human interaction. And I think that if you have a bunch of people that you work with and you call upon them And if you keep calling upon them without appreciating them or them feeling rewarded, recognized in some way, why are they going to go out of their way to help you if they don't feel loved or appreciated? So I think it's very, very simple, and part of your role when somebody's helped you or been part of the team to acknowledge that and say, thank you for being there. Thank you for your contribution.
Are you talking about as a colleague at equal level to you, or are you speaking as a manager, or does it apply across the board?
I think it can apply across the board. I'm contacted by my customers about questions, and I don't know the answer to most of the questions, so I reach out to other people. And it's important for me to maintain those relationships. So when somebody's gone out of their way to research and get me the right answer, it's important for me to go back and say, that's really kind.
So
thank you.
Are you doing that because you're a nice guy, or because you're doing it because you think that if you don't do it, they won't treat you well in the future?
I'd like to think both, but I certainly recognise the second one is quite important.
This is Spotlight on Business. I'm Barry Wimbold. I'm in conversation with Rick Goff, and we're talking about giving and receiving acknowledgement and praise in the workplace. So, Rick, let's separate this from feedback, because, you know, we take feedback in the workplace, and that's something that happens routinely for many people. But when somebody's come to you and said something nice, Rick, how has that made you feel? What's happened in you when that's been the case?
Well, it doesn't happen very often. No. it makes you feel warm and appreciated. And I think that, you know, some of us wear our heart on our sleeve and are a bit more emotional, I guess. So it's nice to be thanked, and it's nice to be loved, isn't it, and appreciated. There was a Japanese, I think he was a professor or a doctor, called Kano, and he kind of set this model up and say, okay, well, some things when they are a delighter, if they keep being a delighter, then they slip down to be the norm. So let me give you an example of that. When you had a camera on your phone, the first ones, that was a delighter. And then everybody started doing it, and it just became the norm. So it slipped from being something that was delightful to being expected. And I think the same goes towards compliments and recognition. So your point about being timely, being genuine, being sincere, but not always just given, you know, is an interesting one, isn't it? If you look at like managers, football managers, I know you're not a big football fan, Barry, but Brian Clough, he's quite a famous chap, isn't he? Very hard, very tough on everybody, but gave the tiniest drops of positive feedback every now and again. And people would clamour for those and move mountains to get those because they were hard to get and therefore very much valued when they did arrive.
And that makes me think that within that relationship, within this case, the football manager, but with any manager, there has to be a considerable amount of respect already in the relationship. It's no good if you're a rubbish manager, for example, or you don't appreciate the troops, thinking that one or two compliments are going to patch things up. Isn't that right?
Yes. My son was in a team, and I remember they lost 10-0, say, for example. And there was a huddle afterwards, and the manager said to them, well done, lads, you've all done really well. And I thought, no, they didn't. They were rubbish. They got lost 10-0. Why are you telling them? Why are you lying to them? I mean, I know there are ways of talking to people in that situation, and goodness knows I didn't coach the team, so I'm not one to talk. But I kind of thought, that's lost. That's the wrong way to me, and that's not appropriate. That's not genuine. That's the wrong compliment to give at the wrong time.
How did it affect your son?
Well, he lost respect for the manager.
Did he?
Yeah.
Right.
And we talked about it and said, you know, what did you think of that? And he said, well, he agreed with me. He said, well, we all played very badly. So
one of the things that came out, some very famous research about the self-esteem movement, was that it didn't work. Telling kids that they're good when they know they're not actually can have the reverse effect. Now, that's well-established research. It's not news anymore. But they tracked it for like 20 years in schools and among young people to see how this culture of telling every child that they were perfect or every child that they were brilliant, the idea being that if you want to boost morale in somebody, you big them up. But I know as a psychologist, that doesn't work.
So if you learn that at school, everybody at school goes then on to the workplace, this is a learned behavior. So you have to retrain yourself.
Well, I have seen this in action in the workplace, that quite often with young trainees, they have been told very positive things about themselves. They've never come up against rejection or having to redo something or being told that they'd got a job wrong, it wasn't up to a standard. Now, I know we accept that there are different ways of giving feedback and not everybody's good at it, but I've seen outright sort of rejection of the system because they were told basically something that was true in order to socialize them in the workplace. Now, regardless of how it's given back, you have to suck that stuff up, don't you, when you're at work, especially in the early days. Now, I'm not condoning bad behavior, but there's a difference between that and getting honest feedback, which then you reject totally because it doesn't fit with your model of the world, because until then, for the first 17 years of your life or whatever, you've been brought up to believe that you're the bee's knees. Nothing wrong with believing good things of yourself, but it has to be, you know, you have to have a reality check sometimes, don't you? So genuine compliments will help, but not if they're insincere.
No. So if I came to you, so after this, after we finish our session today, if I came to you and said, okay, rather than saying, Barry, that was brilliant, you did a fantastic job today. If I came to you and said, how do you think it went today?
Well, I'll know that you're not speaking the truth, Rick. It wouldn't be sincere because I kind of expect it because it's a courtesy. I think we're into the area of social lubricant.
Recovering something else we've said. So I think that sometimes if you come out of the blue, so you're working with somebody a long time, and then you kind of think, goodness me, actually, they are brilliant, actually. And you have this moment because maybe you've seen somebody else or you've had to work with somebody else or whatever, and you come back and you think, gosh, the person I work alongside is really good. So I think sometimes the surprise effect of giving compliments or recognition can be extremely valuable. So putting a bottle of wine on your colleague's desk and say, thank you. Everything you've done for me over the past X period of time, I think that can really mean a lot. It doesn't have to be an expensive thing, but just, you know, we've talked about, you know, saying things, which is free, isn't it? It doesn't cost us to say anything. But sometimes actually just putting your hand in your pocket and getting a token gift can be extremely valuable and pay back many yes. times over.
I'm Barry Winbow, and you're listening to Get a Better Handle on Life, my podcast on iPlayer. In a moment, I'd like to pick up on something I chanced upon when I was thinking about this a week or two ago, about the benefits for the employer and the benefits for the individual. But there was something you mentioned when we took a little breather there, Rick.
I was thinking, Barry, that in order to get the most out of it is that if somebody pays you a compliment and says, hey, that was really good, thank you for that, is it okay to turn around to that person and say, thank you for that, I thought I was just doing my job, but what was it about that that you thought stood out? Or can I ask you a bit more why you're giving me this feedback?
This is very important in terms of raising children, actually, because it's much better. I touched earlier on the self-esteem movement. If you want to big your child up, if you want to give your child a head start and give them something useful to use in their development, then when they do a good job and it's a sincere acknowledgement, rather than simply saying, well done, that's brilliant, a very much more powerful question is, how did you do that? But what led you to think about that? Or where did those ideas come from? Something that invites them to go back into their memory and think through the process. Because when people do good things, they very often write them off as chance or coincidence or luck. But when you say to somebody, how did you do that? Then actually there has to be a degree of acknowledgement on their part in order to give you that information. They might just say, well, I didn't do it, it just happened. In which case you say, no, hang on a minute. It was just you there with that saw or that piece of whatever or that writing you did. So how did you do it?
The lovely story you gave earlier about the person in your team, the lady in your team that you gave some feedback to, who then went on to saw and her career blossomed because of it. So that is really powerful stuff, isn't it? And if you, by asking that question or doing the recognition in the way you just talked about, helped her grow in her thinking, her confidence, and her desire to then go on and achieve more, was a very powerful message, wasn't it? And very successful.
Yes, I must say, I'm not taking all the credit for that, because I thought genuinely, I had a number of Youth Opportunities trainees in those years, and she by far stood out. I had other notable young people. I think she was the only young woman, actually, who worked for us in that capacity. But she had a lot going for her anyway. So she was obviously going places. It wasn't just my one remark. Perhaps that built on it, though. So coming back to what was your question? How did... Oh, yes, acknowledgement.
Yeah. Is it okay to challenge? Is it okay to ask for more information about the person giving the...
So if you said to me... Sorry to cut you off. But you're used to it, aren't you, really? Probably. You said to me, Barry, I like that presentation, was the example you used.
Yeah. Is it okay to challenge? Is it okay to ask for more information about the person giving the...
So if you said to me, Barry, that was I like that presentation, was the example you used. And I could then say to you, well, what did you like about it? Is that sort of
yes,
thing you mean?
Yes, exactly. So I say to you, hey, Barry, that was a brilliant presentation. And you say, can you tell me why you think that's the case?
Oh, yes.
So that's not to destroy the feedback or burst the bubble of the compliment, but also for you to learn and understand more of what is it about what I did that you liked.
Well, and since you're speaking about presentation, but I would also say any sphere of activity that I've been involved in anyway, you know, if I'm writing or if I'm cooking a meal. So the idea of asking your audience what they think and what they value, and I mean, we live in that culture, don't we? There are feedback forms flying all over the place on the web these days. But this is an interpersonal, much more, somebody's taking the trouble to say something nice about me. I can learn from them. They were paying attention. They've told me that they enjoyed the presentation in this case. What was particularly important about it? And I'll give you an example, actually, that's just occurred to me. I was at the Sybil Thorndike Theatre in Croydon years and years and years ago doing a presentation. And I know I had been accused on some of those feedback forms about being bad at answering questions because I didn't listen fully to the question. Now, I know in myself that was because I'd heard the questions in some form so often. By the time you've been doing a topic on the road for 10 years, you pretty well heard every question. So I would be so eager to respond. I was so excited about my subject. But I took it on board that people thought I wasn't listening. Some people thought I wasn't listening because I was answering a bit peremptorily. So I went away and worked on my presentation style and on my listening skills. So I made it look as if I was listening. And I learned that from one of my colleagues who was very good at it. I just watched him. And I was at this theatre in East Croydon and somebody came up to me after the day, it was a day-long seminar, and said, I would like to study your listening skills because you were really paying attention when you listened. So I went from being judged as a poor listener to being judged as a very good listener to a point where somebody was writing a dissertation or something and they wanted to come along and watch me. Now, they might have been just looking for free tickets, but the fact is it really got me to think about what was working because I was then able to discuss with them and say, well, what told you that I was listening? And the top point really was body language. Right. Obviously, I was being attentive, but he said, it's the way you shifted your body when you listened.
Okay.
And that was a direct copy, actually, from my Irish colleague who used to do something similar. So I was, without knowing it, I was kind of mimicking him. But that feedback was really useful to me. I doubt that I would have continued along that path in that way had I not had that positive comment from that person.
Yeah.
And I only got that because I asked.
And so did that reinforce your behaviour as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
I recall being on a plane, and I was lucky enough to be in a place where there was only 20 seats, and I was in seat number 19. The air hostess had to go around and ask everybody in turn, could they work their seat? But she asked it, and I was, like I say, I was in seat 19, so I was the 19th person she asked. I felt like she was asking it for the first time. The way she asked it, with the energy, she looked me in the eye and a smile, and everything else. And I thought, gosh, that to me is a mark of fantastic service. And of course, I said, no, I'm fine. And then within 20 minutes, I had to go and ask her how to work my seat. But because everybody else had said, no, I'm fine, I felt I should do the same.
Yeah. Well, look, Rick, this has been a fascinating conversation. Let's just try and turn this into practicalities, because I mentioned that I came across a checklist earlier in this week, and I tweaked it a bit. But there were a number of benefits to employers in learning, in this management, learning to acknowledge and respect staff by doing things that recognise their efforts. One of the things was employee morale, which you've mentioned.
Well, just on that, Barry, what happens if there is an employee or manager who doesn't give any feedback? What's the danger of having a bunch of employees that don't feel appreciated, don't feel acknowledged in some way?
Well, we see it all the time in industrial relations, don't we? Really. Happy bunnies produce more. Good, positive workplace culture produces better results, even to the point of share price. So, you know, if you've got a happy ship, it produces more and you get better results across the board. And of course, happy staff tend to interact with their markets better if they're dealing with people outside the business. So it's very important from the point of view of the culture, positive workplace culture, to keep the mood up and to do that sincerely and genuinely.
So this is critical stuff then, really. I know we've been having this nice conversation, but actually we've just hit upon something really important.
It is critical stuff. It is, because if you think about who runs the ship, now managers would love to think it's them, but organisations only run with the permission of the troops. If the troops are unhappy, where's it going to go? You know, you've got to keep morale up, and that keeps productivity up, that keeps creativity up. And one way to do that is to show appreciation and acknowledgement.
Yeah. We've talked before about mental health, happiness within the work environment. And I think it all leads into that, doesn't it?
So we've covered employee morale. We've covered enhanced productivity. Improved teamwork is another one that they acknowledged, these researchers I was reading about, and employee engagement. So across the board, really. Oh, and also reduced absenteeism and retention of talent, they said. Well, why would you leave a job if you're happy and appreciated? I mean, it may seem like a light-hearted conversation, but as you've said, it's a critical point. The implications for being able to acknowledge the people who work for you or with whom you work is really a major contributor to how the organisation functions. Unfortunately, it isn't a gift that's given to everybody. You know, as we know from studies, that quite often you get the kind of isolated senior management who just don't step forward. And we also know from research into culture change that if the senior management doesn't model the behaviour it wants on the shop floor, it won't work as well. So those managers who walk about and know people's names and shake hands and acknowledge, however senior they may be, are going to get better results in their organisation than those who fail to do that.
And I think on a different level, when somebody quite senior reaches out to me and says, thank you, they've taken the time out of their busy schedule to reach out to me. And I feel quite honoured by that. And so that's quite powerful to me, and I do appreciate that.
So this happened to me once years ago. My CEO was American. It was his first day back after a couple of weeks away in the US. And he came into the office and I saw him veer away from his office as he was walking towards it, put his bag down and came over to me and said something complimentary. Now, it made a big impact on me. I liked him anyway. He was a good guy. You know, he was very, very positive in his view of me and other colleagues. So he was kind of already on board. But the fact that he took the trouble to say that and to acknowledge that really gave me a lift. But my next question is then, what should I have done? Because I just said, oh, thank you so much. But it would have been probably nice if I'd have said to him, by the way, Carl, thank you so much for what you said, not only to me, but you also acknowledged it publicly in the office so other people saw it. So we all came out looking good. He came out looking good as a CEO. Yeah. Yeah. I came out looking good for getting recognition. All round, everybody wins, don't they?
Absolutely. And the flip side to that is that if you do have a team of unmotivated, unhappy people who don't feel recognised or appreciated, then they're going to leave, probably. And the cost to you to then have to rehire people, retrain people, and go through all the upskill people, wait for them to come up to speed, whatever you like, is not great. And so that's a heavy cost where you could have the flip side and you could be somebody that makes for a happy team, makes people enjoy coming to work, make people feel recognised and rewarded and appreciated.
So, Rick Goff, anything to add before we wend our way?
I really enjoyed the conversation. And I think, as always, as we talk these things through, it becomes clearer in my mind. And I think we've covered a sort of wide range of things about the need to be timely, be sincere, be genuine, and it to come from the right place without being scripted or anything. Just pays so many rewards. And just makes the other person feel good about themselves and maybe they'll do more of the same behaviour. So yeah, it's a good thing to do. When we first started, I didn't know where this was going to go, but I think you've stretched it and I think we've gone over some of the boundaries that I thought we would. I think we've challenged each other more than I thought we would and I've just enjoyed that. I've just enjoyed the intellectual side of it.
Well, I always enjoy the conversations with you, Rick, and I hope those listening have found it similarly engaging. Thanks so much for coming in to talk to me, and we'll get together again soon.
Thank you, Barry. Anytime.
I always find conversations with Rick uplifting and inspirational, so stick with us and follow our future conversations here on Get a Better Handle on Life. I hope you found today's episode informative and useful. If there's anything we missed, or something you'd like to know about, email us info@barrywinbolt.com. You can subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. You can also find me on LinkedIn, on my website, barrywinbolt.com, and on YouTube. Details are in the episode notes. And remember, we're all on a journey and it's never too late to get a better handle on life. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe so you can join me next time. Until then, this is me, Barry Winbolt, saying goodbye.